Steve.
Yep.
There we go.
There you go. Is he on there?
Hold on, I gotta put my headphones in. Hold on. All
right, he's putting his headphones in. Steve, you gotta take the battery out of that smoke alarm or replace it or something.
Cool, me?
Yeah, smoke alarm's going off over there.
There's no smoke alarm. This
yes,
ain't Detroit.
The battery needed. Listen here. The battery needs to be replaced. The beep's going off.
No. That's not me.
All right. It was happening before I called the cashier.
Yeah?
And I'm sitting in the car, so it's got to be.
No, no. I will refuse you.
It just happened just now. It just happened. You didn't
no,
hear.
Listen, we've just had it, and we just did an inspection for them. That's just, they chirp.
They chirp when the batteries are dead.
No, they do. Listen, they chirp more than that when the batteries are dead.
What the hell are we talking about?
You don't hear the smoke detector going off? The chirping?
Oh, that beep, that chirping
yeah.
thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That thing keeps going. As far as it go. If you hear it.
There it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
There it is. Just take your battery out for now. Just for now.
All right.
No fire is going to happen while you're on the phone.
Already,
oh my god. All right, so have you listened to the show yet, Steve?
The what?
Have you listened to the show yet?
the y'all show?
Yeah.
No. The motherfucking Red Rogers.
Listen, does Red Rogers got a show?
White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
This is DJ Ambush.
This is Curly Castro.
And we have a guest with us this week.
Caesar Leo. That's just jealousy right there. That's just cool jealousy. What is jealousy? There's people that got good names, and I just so happen to have a name that's exactly what I am. My name is Caesar, and I am a Leo.
Wow.
I blame the corn.
Wow.
I've never seen you ambush nobody, and I've never seen Castro dictate.
Whatever that thing right. Nixon used when he wanted to get off the phone with, things got a little bit dicey. Things got a little complicated. Nixon was like, all right. And there would be a question, he'd be gone. I need that back. That's what I need.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to A Podcast Has No Name.
We are a podcast has no. We are a podcast has no. We are a podcast has no. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 podcasts. As. We are a podcast has no name.
On this episode, we'll be discussing Iron Fist Season 2.
Nice. Marvel, MCU, Netflix.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
All right.
We're
discussing what happened with the end, with them canceling Luke Cage and also Iron Fist, and what some of these developments might mean. We'll be talking about some of that too. So let's start with Iron Fist expectations going into it. After we all experienced Season 1, and you heard they were getting a Season 2, and you saw the trailer for Season 2, what were your expectations going into it versus where they ended up? Castro first.
All right. Iron Fist wasn't a quandary or a query. Oh, I wonder if it'll be good. We pretty much assumed they might suck. First season is very lackluster. A lot of things left to be desired. I'll put it like this. First season, when I found out, you know, the ins and outs, I found out that, you know, Finn Jones was, like, getting the fight choreography the day of the scene. And, you know, things of that nature. Yes, he was. It was words that he was, like, learning as we go. And I felt that was, you know, eight steps back, considering the fight choreography of its brother and sister shows. When you have, like, when you have Jessica Jones, which doesn't involve much martial arts whatsoever in terms of their fight patterns and stuff, and the fighting there is better than Finn Jones playing the Iron Fist, who is the greatest martial artist there is on the planet, it didn't jive well with me. So, like, second season coming around was more of like, all right, you know, I watch all the rest of these shows. I watch you, too. And, I mean, we'll get in, and then I'll get in later on how the actual season was. But my first, my expectations were pretty low. Pretty low.
Okay. Please, what were your expectations going on?
Being though that I felt like it had the bones to it, I was like, well, I feel like everybody's going to see what I see. Or they just can't gloss over that. They can't just gloss over that. And being though that we see Daredevil, the comparison is going to be there. So
if they
want this show to move on, they're going to have to fix that.
So I seen
the bones, you know, the bones of it from the first one, and so it made it where, you know, with these other shows, it made it where they could adjust this easily.
So I think my expectations were slightly lower than yours, because I definitely understood all of the issues the majority of the issues people picked with for the first season, and fight choreography played a huge part. I thought the way they cut those scenes, as far as editing and the camera angles and views they were using, and I don't know let me know if you agree with this, Castro. I felt like part of that was set up almost to pay tribute to cult kung fu flicks, Shaw Brothers type shit, where you would have a lot more wide angles and drawn out motion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there were some nods to it. Like, it's specifically in the first season of Iron Fist, when he's kind of like going through the henchman type episode.
Yeah.
We bumped into the drunken dude.
The
choreography of the drunken one dude is better than all. And he's actually the most accomplished one. I read up on who he was.
Really?
He was like the main villain. He's the most accomplished martial artist, the drunken guy, to do that style. He's the most accomplished out of all the people they had in season one.
And I watched that fight scene like three times the first time.
You could always tell when there was an improved martial artist in season one. That was also more of a con than a pro. You could tell when he stepped on, that was a whole other scene. And you could see Quinn trying to keep up with him and stuff like that.
Wouldn't you say that's accurate in what they did with Colleen in this season? Like, they really, really highlighted her fighting ability.
But she's always been the best fighter of the series. Like, and it just was it was just highlighted in season two. But, like, your adrenaline pops when she's on the scene fighting somebody. Go ahead, I'll take care of it. Like, you can't wait for her to fight, even if it's just a distraction.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't even, like, a big thing, like, her winning. It wasn't about her winning, like, the big boss fight. It was just like, all right, here goes Colleen busting ass again. And that started in season one with the you know, they started her with the cage fight when we first saw Colleen.
Right,
so they really, they built a really strong character. I mean, we're going to get into, you know, with that a little later in the call. But, like,
yeah, that's a good point.
It definitely was noticeable.
I didn't think about it, like, far as how they visualize it, like, you know, like the scene, the way they shot it, like that they were trying to pay homage, and like I didn't even think about that aspect of it. And I think with stuff like that, you know, unless it comes like in DVD form where it has the part where you could put the narration on and they could do the explanation. Sometimes that stuff don't transfer well if, like you said, if they don't shoot it right.
you know, and the project is suffering.
Yeah,
there's definitely something to that. I mean, the thing with the expectation, I just wanted to say about Iron Fist comes from the comic background, because literally he's supposed to be the world's greatest martial artist.
Yeah.
So when you start with an actor who has to juggle that a little bit, then the believability. Like, I'll say before we even get into it, season two is like light years ahead above this season. Just in the whole aesthetic and the feel you get just watching the first couple of episodes, you see they devoted a lot more than what they did the first season. Like, whatever was working in the first season, they amplified it tenfold coming the second season.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't make the second season, like, flawless to me, but there's definitely an amplification and attention to detail is way more present in the second
season. And the way they repackaged Danny after Defenders, the way they gave it to us in Luke Cage.
The way they listened to
like,
the fans.
Oh.
The way they listened to the fans. Like,
yeah.
The way Danny Rand came across after the Defenders appearance and the Luke Cage appearance. We'll get into that.
Whoa.
All that was like perfect. His color representation, all that stuff was really, really working.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, man.
No, that's fine. That's definitely.
I think that's why
everyone saw going into second season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it's good that, you know, with fan criticism, you know, it could go, you know, different ways. It could be, you know, it's too much where fans are outrageous and the expectations like, all right, you want this to be a cartoon. It don't work. And then you're like, well, it don't work that way. But at least it has some legs of, when we say something, it's like, yo, I'm not imagining that the martial arts scenes are not great. But, you know, like I said, the storyline, and like you said, like the development of it is not bad.
No.
It's not bad. No. It has something there.
Let's dive into that part of it. Because
so before we do, just as a quick aside to, you know, the core of the episode, I feel like Hollywood acknowledging the public's voice, whether it's the critics, the nerds.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like,
everyone.
This is actually a series actually reflective of
some
of the fans' concerns, because this is direct fan service, the improvements they made.
Direct.
On Danny Rand, the character himself.
Yeah.
It ripples outwards from him. Okay.
Hell yeah. And I feel like the first time they really, like, opened the window to the house and yelled out, okay, we hear you. I think the first time they did that was X-Men 2, when they had Vinnie Jones Juggernaut say, I'm a Juggernaut, bitch. Like, when that happened, we were
X3,
like, wait a minute.
X3.
We were like, whoa, wait a minute. Y'all not supposed to be paying attention to us. Y'all paying attention to pop culture, what's going on around you? But that was it. That was it. We fell out in the theater like, wait, that couldn't have just happened.
That happened in the Transformers with Jazz. Jazz had like same thing.
Remember the scene where they all transformed for him and they were like, you know, like the Autobots were dancing before they talk? Oh, I'm Jazz.
Uh-huh.
Jazz did like a backspin and all that. It's in that scene. I'm pretty sure.
What are you saying?
he said something about
some bitches.
Something about kicking ass. Yeah, he said something about that. It was like the one, you know, the one or two curses those type of movies get, and they use it. You know what I'm saying? We'll get those.
They had Jazz talking Jive. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
they did.
It was like,
they did have Jazz talking Jive. Like I said, like, damn, he was doing backspins in between his lines. He do these weird backspins. It's a fucking car. He's doing a backspin.
Why is the car doing a backspin?
It was like, when do we have time and he's doing backspins? I'm jazzed.
Oh,
you know,
my,
I'm
you know
talking a lot. They're looking for stretching by Bobito.
Okay, real quick, we got to stop right here, because what's going to happen is my desire to do one episode where we discuss all of the Transformer movies. Because, oh, my God, Joe. Like, we got to...
Nah, yeah, you're right.
All right, so back into...
What happens when Morg is not on the call? Morg is not on the call. The tractor... No.
Chi.
Yeah, or, like, some line she has about, you know, Sage stage management she does.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Her children
yeah.
Moving
does. Along. Moving along.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Yeah, we could definitely drop that in there.
I really felt like so there was a pause for me watching it. You know, I went into it really excited on the developments, you know, really liking the new Danny we got in Luke Cage. I'm like, oh, this is going to be the shit. And it didn't really pick up for me. I was very interested in the characters introduced in this season. You know, Ward's girlfriend, Ward's sponsor, rather, Mary. And I remember early on getting some feelings about Mary. I'm like, is this Typhoid Mary? Like, which Mary is this? There's only one Mary
right.
I know that exists in this universe, in this
well,
side
what,
of the universe.
What's happening is, because I just finished Daredevil as well. I'm binged through that.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm finished that. So,
listen, you ain't the only one.
Given
the, you always want to be better.
Right.
Okay.
not always. I just have. And what they want is there's more purpose for the side characters rather than narrative fodder. Like sometimes
so they're giving us more
subplot.
Players?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, so the subplot is not just existing just for subplot sake.
Okay.
These minor characters are making movements for the major characters because they're being moved by the major characters, especially in Daredevil. Excuse me.
Okay.
So what they're able to do is these subplots are integral to the main plot and not just the concurrent running story. Like, this is the little sub story, little street youth.
So, like Colleen in this season, basically.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Or even in Iron Fist, specifically Ward. Ward had lot more to do
Ward.
This season
Yo,
than the side Ward, Joy, and Father Meacham.
Yes.
It wasn't that. Yeah, it wasn't that taking over, like, or just this subplot, subterranean plot. Oh, you know, the father's immortal, too. Like, it had to do with it, but it didn't have anything
right.
to do with it. And it created some other little pocket stories that we're following along with. These stories, these side stories of, like, the youngster BB and stuff, all that stuff ties back into Iron Fist and Colleen. And another thing that the show did in terms of listening to the audience is this is very much, and I know y'all can agree, a female-led and driven season. Very
oh,
much
yes.
so. It's a Iron Fist show, but it's very much a Colleen Wing show featuring Misty Knight, and they're just taking, follow everybody else's lead of current female tropes and going along with it.
Yeah
they don't got to take a backseat to nobody.
Nope, no man
exactly.
has to come save the day,
no.
swoop in or call in
no.
or whatever. And also, another little side note is the references are very casual. Like, they mentioned Jessica Jones and Daredevil, but just as far as, like, who's a better investigator? Like, Karen Page
right.
or Jessica Jones. Like, that's
right.
how they say it. Well, Jessica Jones, she's a little crazy with her feet and their movie.
the little details, like, Misty getting her arm. Like, you know,
yeah.
stuff like that. I was looking for, like, all right, well, how are they going to make that happen? You know,
well, I think they were doing well, especially the references. Like,
like you said, all the little subplots and all these little characters, sometimes, like, because even with, like, you know, I haven't had some of these comic books in so long, some of these names, they pop, and I'm like, I know that name from somewhere.
Yeah.
So then
I'll
look it up and be like, I knew that's who that was, or you know, and go with that and know that they're taken from that like what's his name, Nuke, homeboy with
the
flag,
Nuke.
He was somebody that I can remember as a kid that he had that flag across his face, and I was like, I know that name from somewhere. And they put them in there.
Yeah.
They do well with Easter eggs. They always do well. Like the one scene in Luke Cage, and you can jump around shows, but, you know, Sam will bring it back around, where they have the actual Daughters of the Dragon scene where Misty is wearing a red jumpsuit, Colleen's wearing white, and it's actually a distinct parallel to episode one of Daughters of the Dragon with them two on the front cover. Wearing a red jumpsuit and Colleen wearing white. And if y'all remember that one scene where they were in the bar just letting off steam and that was a direct parallel. So they doing pretty well.
I would
there was a mention of Justin Hammer and yep. Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Turk, when Turk was talking about some of the weapons, I was like, did he mention a hammer weapon? I said, yo, they're dropping it. They're doing some great stuff with the Easter eggs. You guys are completely right on that shit. Like, they kill it with the Easter eggs. So we're a couple episodes in. Did you binge it straight through, you two? Because, like I said, I took a break.
What, to the
point
first
where you, like,
season?
Take a break and come back? Second season.
The second season?
Uh-huh.
I was kind of waiting for it to click. I called my best friend Zilla. I called him up pretty excited about, you could tell the difference in the show, second mm-hmm. episode. So once the second episode hit, I was like, all right, I'm going to finish it. And also, curious enough, I mentioned earlier, I finished Daredevil, but what I did was I started increasing how I was watching Iron Fist because I wanted to finish Iron Fist before Daredevil premiered.
Got you.
You know, I know this thing could be dated a certain way, but this past Friday, Daredevil came out, and I wanted to have Iron Fist done in time. So that gave me more incentive to finish. So around second episode, I was like, all right, I'm going to start binging and finish it up. Because I just, you know, Luke Cage wasn't that long ago either. And I know we'll talk about that show, too.
Very true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, Jessica Jones started, you know, and I'm just an avid, I follow, you know, I'm an MCU fan. So as they come out, I try to watch them. But, you know,
there are some you didn't, though, right? There are some, like, you're not watching Gifted.
No, but the funny thing is, Gifted is a lot better than you realize. And the same thing with, like, Black Lightning. Black Lightning is actually really excellent. I just haven't gotten into it yet. But Gifted is a lot better than we realize.
Better than Luke Cage.
Yeah, and that's probably their perspective because they probably watched Black Lightning instead of Luke Cage. But the Gifted is very surprising. So what I did with the Gifted was, I watched YouTube videos of each person's, like, power. And they would show, them exhibiting their power. So they would show Absorbing Man. Like, they have an Absorbing Man in that one. And the powers are very – they have the Strucker twins. On people don't remember.
Are you serious?
Baron and Elsa Strucker are the main two characters.
Yeah.
The Strucker twins. Mm. They're the main two characters of the Gifted.
Oh, that's a deep
comic book reference, if you don't
recall.
And it was the two blind kids when they were touched. Their powers would amplify. That's exactly how they are in the book, in the story. It's a lot.
Yep.
That Polaris is in it, Magneto's daughter. It's a lot. I'll just say that. So
okay.
Any listeners, all our listeners and stuff, it's a lot better than you think it is. So if you can give it
so
a
would
back.
You say,
anyway,
I know a Legion I have to get on. You guys have been telling me to check out Legion.
Whoa, yeah, man.
I'm late.
Doing something. It's not even late. I didn't watch Runaway either. But then I heard Cloak and Dagger.
I did mess around with the Runaways thing. The Runaways thing, I liked it. But then at some point, some other shows start setting precedence over it. But it wasn't bad. It was like Goonies.
Glad you brought that up, Steve, though. I'm glad you brought that up. I just want to piggyback on that real quick. There's so much quality television that you have minimal time to investigate a show that's not worth it. Like, to get into a show 4 episodes in and it's not worth it is very disheartening just because you don't have the time. Like, I could be watching something better, you know, or something else that I'm using this time for. And so you have to be pretty selective. Like, I drop out of shows pretty early. If it can't get me to second or third episode, I can't waste time getting deep into it because I have to watch something else. You know what I'm saying? Dead ass, like straight up.
Yeah.
So,
things are distracting, though.
Can be so bad.
Yeah.
I'll wind up start watching like YouTube, and have to go in and out of it.
But some of these shows are built for the binge. I will say that, and I marvel at Netflix actually.
Oh yeah,
really.
Netflix,
they own that.
Like, well, when are you
coming back? And it's cliffhanger, and they write them the cliffhanger.
Right.
Thing, like, oh, I'm about to watch the next one right now. You know, with the little previews and stuff like that. So
you know,
they definitely build something like that. It's television. It's different. Like, the main thing that's different about television these days in 2018 going into 2019 is you don't have to be locked into the schedules anymore. You don't have to rush home to get something at 8.
You don't got to be. You don't got to be somewhere at 10 at 9 o'clock. So you
right,
can
right.
watch the 8.
Or even still,
if your show starts at 10 and you do watch it live, let's say, you know how you can watch it live a half hour later and I ask you, do you want to start the show from the beginning? Like,
right.
Without even the DVR.
Right.
So my point is, like, you watch things at your convenience at this time as opposed to bending your schedule. It's funny, my best friend, Zilla, him and his wife, they schedule sit down and watch TV together. So they do follow the TV schedule. But that's a, you know, a product of, you know, some of their entertainment in their marriage and stuff. So that's so cool. But a lot of times I think you divorce yourself from that. Maybe you put the kid down late and you take your show, you watch your show like an hour after it comes up. But it's very different. To me, that's an inherent difference, especially when the bingeability of a show, when Steve says you get distracted, is the show pulling you back? You know, like, sometimes I want to spread a show out. Sometimes I want to take a little longer to watch a show rather than binge it, and vice versa. But, yeah.
It's hard to stop. Once the show is starting, especially, like, you know, I know I've been waiting for a while, like, these Marvel series, I get right to it. Well, I guess with all of these shows, they got the stuff that I like. You know, the meat and potatoes of all the comic books. So it's got my attention, and I've always been that kind of person. Like I know about these different characters, and when they mention them, it'll pull me in more for the next one and the next one and the next one. You know, like when you get to the end of Daredevil, you'll see it's like it'll pull you in more. Like the last scene. The last scene, you'll be like, yo, I didn't know they was gonna do this, and they do it.
Yeah,
and it pulls you right in for you. Like, all right, let's what else they got? Like the Punisher. You know,
I was gonna bring up the final scene on a lot of these does that, because the final scene in Luke Cage was like, yo, they're about to go to this other part of Luke Cage.
Other,
like, this is going to be crazy. They about to go to wire Luke Cage. Like, what is happening? And then,
let's jump into it.
I was going to say the same thing as what we got here with Iron Fist. So, jumping into it, let me ask you guys, I need two characters from you. The character that you feel like had the most weight in the show this season, like, We are enjoying the story, but who was the character that when they came on the screen, you were like, oh, what's going to happen now? So, and then on the exact opposite of that, who could you have done to not see at all? Like, who could you could completely have done without? Casher, you go first.
All right. I was most impressed with Colleen by far. She was the main character to me this season. I liked that Danny slowed down a lot of his, you know, platitudes and you know, superhero-ness and the awe and the eye and the wonder of being Danny Rand. But
and he told me to protect the city. He gave me the responsibility.
Yeah, it was definitely Colin. And then I didn't care for his name is Davos, isn't it? His name is Davos.
I thought that was a funny thing.
Anybody being a Game of Thrones fan might have been thrown off. I think his name's Davos. And Davos just didn't do it. He didn't do it for me. In the first season, he worked well as like a third act party that comes in as an adjutant, which these Marvel shows always have, like a third act, second adjutant, antagonist. He works well as that. But it's just, he was very intense, and it was hard to believe his motivation. Like, as a character, he worked, but it was hard to sit there and watch him try to justify all the ill shit he does the whole season. And it just didn't work. It didn't really work for me. Mary was a great villain. Like, I think she was great because they just scratched the surface with her. But as far as, like, to the question, it was Colleen was the most impressive, and Davos was the most unnerving, but not even in a good way.
See, who would you say most impressive and the character you can do without?
I like Davos because of his intensity. He really felt entitled. And to me, it was baked into him with his mom. So he felt that he should have it. Not that he earned it or this and that he should have it. And for me, that's what I see, like him, you know, saying, going off the tracks mentally, that
he believed that part. And then it was other stuff that he wanted to be, he wanted the approval. And he never could get that, he could never get that approval, and that's what cooked him. And that's where he was like, so he just kept chasing that from his mom and wanting that approval and you know, his delusional about stuff. And, you know, that's what, you know, say sent him off, you know, off there. And I could see that's how, you know, it, you know, how he, you know, was so consumed by it that he had to have it.
So did that make him your favorite character in the season?
That would make him my favorite character based on that. It stood out for me. It was intense that, you know, to see that dynamic that why he went off the rails.
So who could you have done without this season? Yeah.
I wouldn't say none of them, and this is why I'm so geeked on when they mention these people. Like, for me, I'm very appreciative. I'm appreciative that whether good or bad, you know, like they're doing a good job. But when they speak on these characters, it takes me to, I was reading these comic books when, you know, when I was young, and I remember these people. So when they reference them, it's like, oh man, you put that one in there and this one and that one. So even if they're not a big part, they're still in there. That resonates for me. That any of them that pop up, and I pay attention to all the names that, you know, that they're intertwined with, you know, them, and they reference. And being when they reference them, it just geeks me out about, yo, they put them in there and this and that. Now I can't,
that web of characters that they weave makes everyone essential to the picture for you. I get it. Okay. All right. So for me, the character that I could have done without, BB. When he died, I really didn't care. Okay. I didn't care enough about any of those kids. I just didn't.
But they were serviceable. But they were they not serviceable side characters to you? I didn't care about them either. They were red shirts.
Yeah.
They were just servicing the story.
Yeah, they were servicing the story. They were such a-holes in the beginning that I didn't care what happened to them. It was interesting.
They marked themselves to death with Am after they purged him with that stupid little
shot. Oh, my God. He said it fast. He's like, Phoebe, he out of here.
Because even when old boy, the super zealot, when he killed the other dude in the alleyway, I was like, oh, y'all just taking it. Yeah, they're out of here. All right. So what's happening next? I'll tell you this, though,
Am. I knew they were going to have to fast forward their development. Because if you notice, the series doesn't do well with time.
Those kids were trained really quick.
So we don't know. They didn't do the training montage too deep. Right. So it didn't make you feel like it was a couple of weeks. But it probably less than two of them, it was a couple of weeks. It felt like, did it feel like they was doing that shit for like 11 to 12? And then they was ready at like 2 o'clock. Like,
it did.
The last 15 minutes.
Do them copies for like 15 minutes. Are you ready? Strike, what do you think? Strike like a falcon? They said that like 20 times and wrote it on the
board. Yeah, it was like, slow down.
And then they were ready to fight. But it didn't show them amplified. What I like, though, and you know, I didn't mean to jump it on yours, but it didn't show them being super accomplished at martial arts when it came time for them to fight. They were still pretty raw, which I didn't mind.
Good point.
Like, they didn't seem like, you know, Colleen still kicked their ass. Like, box up.
Good point.
You know,
very good point. Yeah.
Like, the hand.
Yeah, there was never a time I was worried for Colleen.
But that had to be like that.
It couldn't be like three days of training.
He just ain't gonna be, you know, this dude was in Kung Lao for years. He still was taking a beating.
He was definitely taking a beating.
He took a couple beatings, man. 3 days of training? Nah.
So for me, the character I felt like that really pinned me throughout the season was definitely Ward. It was definitely Ward.
You didn't like Ward? What is his baby?
No, I'm saying that's the one that locked me in. That was the character I enjoyed the most.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed Ward the most.
Can't stand Ward and Joy Meacham. He can't stand.
Listen, we've been given every. But that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. We've been given every reason to hate this character. He's the equivalent to Jaime Lannister in this universe.
He was way better this season. We hated him. A lot more. It's the purposefulness. It was a purpose for him and the things he was doing. Instead of, like I said, that parallel sub-story. So they were just running concurrent with the main plot. These side stories had everything serviced to do the main plot. That's why I think they were better.
When they gave us that his sponsor was pregnant. I can't remember the character's name.
I was
like, oh, my God, we're about to see. They've introduced the possibility of something super impactful in this character's development. Like, they could go anywhere with him after this. He could become anybody after this.
I didn't like how they resolved it, though, man. I didn't like that.
Terrible result. In light of what's happening
to the series. I didn't like that. Oh, she didn't even say to him, when you're better, you can see your son later.
She didn't.
You have to let me do it by myself.
I felt like that was implied.
It was weird.
I felt like that was implied.
No, it was weird.
I felt like that was implied.
I mean, y'all are parents.
The type of woman that would cut him off. Yeah.
Y'all are parents. Yeah. And y'all co-parent differently and stuff, both of y'all. That scenario, is that likely for her not to mention that you can get a chance later on? Or is that?
Right. I think that's very likely. I think that's very close to real. Because it's understood what your responsibility is, no matter who you are at this moment, how you're carrying
and what access you're getting. Yep, and what access you're getting either.
That's understood your responsibility. So yeah. I think that was definitely implied. But yeah, those are my two characters. Watching Ward again, just watching him change throughout the show, and then for us to get the ending we did with that, you know, teaser for season 3, I was like, yo, Ward is out here.
He's out there. He's out there. Let me ask y'all this. Let me give you a first question. What does it say that neither one of us, out of us three, mentioned Danny as either our favorite or our least favorite character? He's not saying either or. Neither one of us mentioned Danny as the least favorite or our favorite character.
That's a good point. I think that signifies that we recognize there's an improvement and that there's still a whole lot more improvement needed. But it's us recognizing that they did make some changes and we like these changes. But
I'll say the writing for everything, because it's called Iron Fist. So he's the main thing. So he's supposed to be obvious. But a lot of times the complaint is this character is in a terrible world. It's in a terrible, like the writing is so terrible. Like, I'll let you know, this character, could have been so much better if he was doing this or this and that and all the references around him. So... like him being
let me ask you guys this. Considering the rich kid that gets estranged or he goes through some turmoil and then comes back to his city as a rich kid superhero, the fact that we've seen this so many times, don't you think this is already an uphill battle for them anyway? You know what I'm saying? We got Green Arrow. We got Batman. It just keeps happening.
But that, to be honest,
that created an uphill battle, right?
Well, we're doing superhero series, so that is the common trope, or the parents dying.
And I would agree with that.
Okay.
It's just it comes with the territory. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing when it comes to comic books.
Now, what they're doing better is they're doing better. Getting across these origin stories as painless as possible. Like, let's just say the masterpiece is Spider-Man Homecoming.
and that they don't retread the origin story. That's a big part of why that movie works so well. This is
extremely funny that you mentioned that. A friend of mine, my homeboy, Nick, he said what he's tired of and what you just said. You guys both agree that Homecoming nails is the origin story. He's tired of the origin story. He's tired of basically, you know, us, each new director or each new franchise having to approach the origin again and again and again. And he was like, Spider-Man was a key example of that. He was like, how many times have we got to see him getting bit by the radioactive spider? We all know that. And I told him, I said, well, I think you're taking for granted what the viewership looks like nowadays. For one, the audience that watches these new movies that are, you know, whether it's DCEU or MCU, it's a much wider audience now, way wider. These aren't comic book readers. These are people that are aware of the characters that are culturally and pop reference, you know what I'm saying, like a Spider-Man, but they may not know exactly how this guy came to be. And then when you look at the time span between these movies, these are completely different generations you're talking about. Like, there are so many people, like, my kids have not seen the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. They haven't. The third one.
I'll say this. I'll say, when people say that they're tired of it, I know you can make them an outlier. And the reason why, all it would take is the new spin on the director for it to be great. And we will watch it.
I think we would watch it.
And like time and time again, every time. Mm-hmm. I think we will watch it because we've done this. There was a Captain America show on TV. There was an Incredible Hulk show on TV. Mm-hmm. Daredevil was on the Incredible Hulk TV show at one time. You know, and we've watched it time and time again. And the reason why is we're comic book junkies. We love this stuff. So anytime we can get to partake in any of the thing that we love, we're gonna see if they did a good job. You know, Green Lantern caught the business. It caught the business. But
yeah,
we still watched it.
Yeah.
We might not have watched it over and over again, but we still watch it. And if they make another one, we'll watch that one to see if it's disastrous.
The other thing I said was important about origin stories and them, you know, having to be established is because the science has changed. We're just smarter viewers. We're smarter public. A radioactive spider can't do that, you know. Then they switched it to DNA, altered spider. But again, things have to change. They just got to change. They got to change the terminology. They got to update all these different gadgets to work scientifically and give us the right special effects to make the shit believable. They
got
to communicate.
Well, it got to work. It got to work for real live action. I always looked at all right, we watch some of these cartoons, and when they jump down or jump up on a light pole, this light pole is like 20 feet high. You know, that can't happen in a movie, you know, because
I will say this.
Go ahead.
Let me piggyback off that because there's a great video on YouTube. You can find it. But there's a lot of videos comparing Marvel and DC. And they say one thing that Marvel does very well as to what Caesar's alluding to is they handle the physics of their powers way better. It's believable. They make a mark where it carries through. So when Iron Man hits somebody with his super strength, right, that mm-hmm. same hit is gonna deliver that same blow later on in the movie. Whereas in DC, it's just about like Steppenwolf just swings the axe, and sometimes it gives a great big energy wave, and sometimes it just cuts your clothes. That's not consistent. You know what I'm saying? And also, and even piggybacking further what Caesar's saying,
Marvel does a way better job of using the powers creatively, where you have Iron Fist, let's say it on point, Iron Fist punches Luke Cage's palm and it creates a big shockwave. Whereas, what does Superman do? He just punches. Like, literally, think about it. They don't make him use his heat vision and his cool breath creatively. He doesn't create tornadoes. He doesn't turn back time like the original Superman did. He just punches.
Yeah. He turns back.
Punches and kicks. Being creative.
Jessica Jones' strength and abilities.
Yeah.
It was. It had the subtlety to it, but it was present.
Yeah.
Like she would break, like they're breaking a lock, She would break it easy, but she had limits.
Yeah.
You know, you said, they do it well.
Mad, she can break a bar easy, just like Luke Cage could. But when they're conscious of it, they're not. But again, it's the physics of it and being consistent with it. You know, so when they're hit, it means this. You see what I'm saying? As opposed to it could mean this or it could mean that. Or maybe Superman knocks a building over or maybe headbutts.
So it's almost like by making sure the script adhere to a certain respect to physics, again, like you said, it makes it more believable. Whereas over in DC, they don't look at the physics of it. It's just, this person has these abilities, and based on these abilities, this is what carries the storyline. Wonder Woman can move this fast in this particular scene because she has to, whereas she can't save this one person over here.
Right.
And what happens is they got to keep. They have to keep
across the entire floor, blocking bullets coming out of a machine gun.
Yep.
If she's that strong. And I'm not taking nothing away from her. If she's that strong, at no point can nobody knock a shield out of her hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Yeah, agree.
Right. Yeah.
So,
Captain America. They say it. They even say it in the movie. The Captain America's physics, that's not right. Spider-Man makes allusion to it. And another guy said something like the way his shield works. That doesn't even look right. But they stay consistent with how it doesn't look right. The way it bounces back, it does have awkward physics of the way it ricochets.
Well, I don't think they explained that he has that magnet thing on his arm.
Right. They don't bring that up. And also, he throws it away for it to bounce back to him from him moving.
Right.
You know that. But there's something perfect. It was something perfect. Yeah. Infinity War. I love this. This is one of my favorite parts of Infinity War. Is when they're running out to the army horde and Black Panther and Cap run faster than everybody else. Like, I separate from the pack and they're just on their feet.
Right.
And they jump in. I love that.
Right.
It just shows you, okay, there's levels to this shit. These two motherfuckers can run like cheetahs with straight up foot speed and they just leap into it. I watched that over that little part over and over again.
Yeah.
I love it.
He showed that when he was chasing the car. He showed that when he was chasing the car.
Goes into the fray. Yep, and it was the two of them. Woo. And now we're in a whole other movie, and they're maintaining their speed. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Those two can run like that, and they let them run like that again. And the big, you know, they got people
the
flying, and they're going faster.
Right.
Love
it. But it's not. But it's not it's not outrageous.
Right.
Where.
Right.
You know, you're looking at them like it's blinding speed. You're like, all right, they run. They are enhanced. They, like
yeah,
every
right.
like when you enhance something, it's just, you know, you're enhanced. You don't make it ridiculous. And the other, like we were saying, that they made it where they made these characters where, you know, they're enhanced and it has a subtlety to their powers. You know, they like and then the big, like the major ones that have extreme amount of powers, they do a good job of keeping the other ones away from them. They keep, you know, keeping them away from because if they are in the vicinity, he's like, all right, well, this guy got to fight this guy off. He don't stand a chance.
They also do a good job separating. I don't want
to. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Here's a real quick one, though. Vision in Infinity War. They injure him in the beginning of the movie. So they don't have to deal with how powerful his vision, the phasing, and the light beam coming from the Infinity Stone. They injure him early. So now it's like, all right, you jacked up, homie. You the character with the limp and the splint. You know, there's always a character they got to splint somebody's leg, and they're limping for the whole movie and shit like that. So they're neutralized.
So they do that for him and shit like that. But
pulling that
pulling
that back to Iron Fist, this is what we talked about earlier with Colleen. It was established. Once she got in the room, Colleen don't lose fights.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? She's a,
not one.
Guys, you guys go ahead and run. I'll hold them all. That's what she did. With the level of consistency, it was just like, okay, we already know how this is going to go. But it didn't make the fight scene lame. Because I'm going to tell you this. Fight scene of the season for me, which would probably be, if I had to compare all the fight scenes across all of them, this may be the second or third highest fight scene across all the Netflix shows. With Colleen against the tattoo girl.
The Crane Sisters. That
fight scene is only comparable to Daredevil in the hallway, and y'all know what I'm talking about. That dark hallway.
I'll only say it until you see Daredevil season 3, because that's some of the best fighting they have.
Okay. Okay.
But
yeah, but
I totally agree with you up until that point.
That first one, and then the final fight scene in Punisher. No, the second to last one, when he put his thumbs through Homeboy's eyes. That right there.
Oh, God. Well, the last scene with Jigsaw, that was like one of my favorite fight scenes.
That was cool. Yeah, that was cool.
But also, all right, well, let's dive all the way into it. Let's get muddy up to our waist. Bushmaster kicking Luke Cage's ass is some of the best fighting. Like when he's
very
kicking Luke
true.
Luke's ass, it's some
listen,
of
he did
Capilar
he did
like
really
that.
Good.
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
Yeah, he did.
He zooms up to the top. He's a top 10 villain. Or let's go top 5. He's a top 5 villain. He's a top 5 villain.
Yeah, definitely top 5. Definitely top 5.
Definitely.
Listen,
he did
really, really good.
Yeah.
And that was surprising. Like, because we don't really know these actors like this.
They had to make up for that. That's true. And they had to make up for the second half villain of the first season of Luke Cage.
Oh my God!
Who's his name?
That's the thing that I think about too when it comes to how they cast them. A lot of times ain't really based on do they know karate or not.
So
what happens is.
Or can you
that is important. Can they do this? Now,
right.
Kingpin pulls this off because
he's a beast with the way they get this fight choreography.
Oh, my God.
Look, the fight choreography of Diamondback was severely lacking, and that's why I'm glad he's
a player.
Like, the actual choreography of what he actually could do, whether he had the suit on or he was shooting the bullets or whatever, none of that
terrible.
Stuff was telling it to us. Whereas opposed to Cottonmouth, he didn't even fight Luke, but he was so much better. You get what I'm saying? Like,
gangster,
he didn't even have, like, a man-on-man with him. But they had, what they did was, I think the main thing was, they were in service of Black Mariah, they got rid of Cottonmouth and Mahershala Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was killing.
They had to.
So in service of how long she was going, they had to get rid of him. But to me, back to the original thing I was saying, was Bushmaster was definitely them making up for the villain in the second half. Black Mariah.
I thought he was a martial artist, the way he was flipping around.
Right. Yeah, that Capoeira.
Killing the Capoeira.
He reminded me of the Street Fighter.
I knew you was going to say I knew it. I knew you was going to bring
it. No, he actually reminds me of the motherfucking Mighty Quinn. That's what I think
about. Oh, even worse.
Yes. Mighty
Quinn,
Robert Townsend with the horrible dread wig. Give me
Where's
Denzel at with his horrible accent?
That's who he reminds the dude from Street Fighter. And he had the maracas and stuff.
Okay, oh, don't go too far, all right? Oh, jeez. So yeah,
he out there got the drinks on the side, and you know what I'm saying, he's got the linen pants. He got the linen pants. Yeah, he got the linen pants. He's like, what you want some work? You know, hit you with this capoeira.
Oh my God.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, you're gonna catch a beatdown bad if you interrupt somebody on vacation. You know what I'm saying? He's got the whole vacation vibe. You're like, what? Get out of the, you blocking the sun, my man. You see me with the, you know, the drinks. I got the linen pants. I got the beads. I got the Jerry beads. What's wrong with you?
I got the linen pants.
He said, what's wrong with you?
Yo, he was very well dressed. Look, he would get his shirt messed up and he'd get changed. You can change.
Yeah.
Thing like, yo, man, I need to change the clothes, man. I'm looking real bad. I'm leaking it.
Yeah, he ain't playing.
You know what I'm saying?
And he didn't care. As long as it was brand new on him, it didn't even matter that he was bleeding through it while he was wearing it.
No, it didn't matter.
It just needs something new on me. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You want to rump with me?
Yeah.
There was something that happened in the latter part of this season. Where Danny had to make a decision, and this really jumped out to me. Danny had to make a decision whether he would have Colleen train him or they would still maintain their relationship. It was very clear.
Yeah.
She made it very clear what the options were. And he was in his mode, all in his head. He's like, I made my decision. Oh, okay. But I needed him to act like he made his decision. Because he kept coming back on, so what does this mean? What you mean, my guy?
What we were watching, though, and the whole season was the downfall of their relationship, which was very clear. Halfway through, you started realizing that's what this was as well. They couldn't maintain their relationship. They tried, but their relationship was going to be sacrificed for the better good. Like, look, at the end of the season, he's running around Japan looking for one of the old Iron Fists. That's the guy he's looking for.
Right.
And that ain't an easy task either, Am, that you're gonna put on the plate that you're gonna give up your love for this karate fight and she gotta accept it? Like you gotta really think about that.
She knew she had to step too because she was changing too. So it was really good in that. It was a breakup season, it was pretty much a breakup season, and they did well with it.
It's not so simple. It's not so simple as you giving up, because you're gonna go back and be like, can I do both? You know? And when that ultimatum was given to you, you still got to shoot your shot. Be like, look, man, I could win this fight. Just, you know, we got the cable together and the apartment. It's going to be hard when we move on.
We just expanded our package.
HBO Go password. Come on.
And then the other thing is, like, you got the dojo in the living room. Like, you one of the best girlfriends. I don't want to get this up. If you're a karate man and you give up a girlfriend that got a dojo in the living room, yes, man, all quick.
Oh, no. Oh, God. But, all right, so let's pose this, and then, because we got to get to Luke Cage and we got to get to the cancellation. What was your most satisfying moment of this season of Iron Fist?
I got it. Listen, it's sitting in my – it's the only thing I can see. It's the only thing I can see. Colleen, in her full realization.
White fist, baby!
White fist, white sword. She's standing in front of the hilt of the sword. The hilt of the sword has her her emblem in it, like – and you see the tattoo on her arm, like, it's all there. And I'm like, oh my God, she's the illest Iron Fist we are going to get, period.
I'm going to say, when he pulled out the two hammers at the end. And that was, to me, because... And like I said, like when they do the reference,
And the Colleen thing was on par with, like, I can't, you know, that's in there. But just these direct references geek me out about it. Like, the, you know what I'm saying? Like it, you know, because it comes from, from the immortal, the immortal Iron Fist thing.
So Danny, how to do it that way with the double fisted guns and shit like that. So that's a direct. Mm. That's why it's so disheartening that it got canceled, because they were going into deep comic lore.
Yeah, right there alone,
his long trench coat, the double fisted guns, they light up, all that's in the
code. So please give your both. Did you already give yours, Castro?
Well, mine is the first moment with the white fist. When she first gets it, and her fist lights up.
Mine's with the double gun thing, because it was the comic book reference. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
Like, okay. I geek out about it.
With that, okay. So the fact that all three of us are referencing things that are integral to the way the show ended and leading us into a third season. How much did it hit you that finding out we're not getting a third season with all of this great potential? Because the fact that Ward is with Danny, we don't know how long they've been on the road. One, two, he's about to have a kid, and he's not even in the country.
Right. They did do some time stamp of like 3 months later or something like that.
It was 4 months
later. When the cancellation word came, one, I thought it was pretty quick, because usually they'll wait till after sweeps, which is winter. After they run these reruns, and then they let you know if something's renewed or not. Especially if it's on the fence. Like, I remember Hannibal, I'm a big Hannibal fan, and we're on the fence that four seasons. Well, the four seasons coming. So it was kind of quick for me. But I also knew that this is the least successful out of all the shows, not including Defenders. So if one had to be canceled, I thought it would be this one. So when I first heard it, I didn't think much of it. When I heard of the Luke Cage cancellation, they made me start thinking of Disney and their upcoming plans. Because you set this up, all right, there's plenty of series that end on a cliffhanger, that end where you can end the series there or you cannot, depending on how you want to. But it just seems auspicious that they set up all of that character movement, all this stuff with Ward and Danny in a whole other country, where Colleen is the Iron Fist back in Hell's Kitchen, to not pay it off. Like, yeah, Disney wants to make money. You know what I'm saying? Like, bottom line, we're talking stories, we're talking series, we're talking lore, but they want to make money. And also, Disney has an image to uphold. So they're trying to figure out how to balance it. But Disney also has a streaming service right around the corner, 2019, 2020. So I think they're trying to curtail all the shows that they want to throw out exclusively on their streaming service. That's what it made me think of later. At first, it made me think of, well, this is the least performing show. So if they're going to cancel one, it would be this one. And then later on, I started making me think that, they're setting up their lineups.
Let me tell you something. If they dropped a trailer on the Disney streaming service 2 years from now, if they dropped a trailer that was the Iron Fist, like a teaser, 15, 20-second teaser, Iron Fist, and they just showed the White Fist or Colleen, it would be a wrap. Everybody, shut it down.
I think it's coming because this really worked in Defenders and Luke Cage, and they didn't use it actually in Iron Fist. Was Iron Fist and Luke Cage, Heroes for Hire. It was great the way they played off each other. It really worked. Like,
it's the
Danny being too serious and mythical.
It said it's the most episode.
Yeah, and Luke Cage is like, what are you talking about? You're the immortal who? You're immortal. Like, that works so well. And it also brought Danny back to Earth. His appearance in Luke Cage, which we'll talk about also in this call, was very fulfilling. The way he was wearing the green hoodie and the yellow underneath, that he got the color scheme, all that was really working. So, to me, what I'm saying is, long story short, is they left a lot of great intellectual property on the table.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to leave it unused.
I'll go with what Cass was saying, that I wasn't heartbroken, and the reason why is when I heard about that they were having that streaming service,
I was like, well, if they got this other, you know, they got stuff everywhere, you don't want it to be another Spider-Man or Incredible Hulk thing. You don't want all of these, like, we've already went through, you know, and now we're here, but we already went through the X-Men and the Fantastic Four being somewhere else. And you don't want to have that problem again, where you don't have, you know, certain rights to some of these characters, or, you know, you want to be able to bring them home. So, like you said, like, so soon as it happened, I was like, they already got this. They already advertised this using Netflix, and both of them had made their bread with this. You know, Netflix got a real big boost with having this Marvel name connected to them, and now Marvel is like, well, y'all really successful with this streaming thing. Just so, let's say, like, you know, let's do our own stuff. Let's have our own streamer service, because it seems like everybody is running to those sides that we're having our own streaming service. And that was the next logical thing, but you don't want to leave your property somewhere else. You know, Marvel has done that with these characters, and we've been, you know, fighting that fight with these characters and these other movies made other places. You want them made home. So if everything is at home, everything's just to your disposal, and you can use everything.
Okay, so let's talk about Luke Cage, season two a little bit. Luke Cage is different in the sense that, let's call a spade, you know, pun intended. It's a show for us. It has our music in it. It has our titles. They use, like, Gangstar titles. They use Pete Rock Feel Smooth titles for the season.
Beautiful.
They very much, Harlem is a character in the show. So anytime Luke Cage is given more life, it means a little bit more. So, like, the cancellation of Luke Cage hit home harder mm-hmm. than, say, any of the other ones. But season two, I love because, you know, one main reason, Bushmaster.
Yeah.
It really was heavy. I really enjoyed it. Him actually having a fair enough adversary.
Being that it was Harlem, did you feel like it needed more Dipset representation?
I wouldn't have been mad to see Cameron posted on a corner, you know. But I'm pretty sure they came to him and the bag wasn't big enough. That's why we didn't.
Yeah, but didn't it feel like it kind of was a dated? It was a Harlem that was out of time.
It was a TV Harlem.
Yeah,
it was a TV Harlem. I'll give it that. It was definitely a television Harlem. In terms of, like, you know, just the way it's represented, but I think it's good for any Harlemite. I haven't heard anybody complain about how it's being represented.
That's important. That's very important. Yeah, that's very important. I do remember how I felt at the end of season two, and feeling like there was just so much potential, and there's so many places they can go with where Luke is right now in his life, and how he feels like he's got to muddy the waters up to keep things, you know, to keep everybody at bay. Like, this is crazy. Him sitting in that office behind that desk with a suit on was just like, what? Oh, yeah, that was about to be crazy. It was about to be ill. And I really feel like you guys are right. You know, this is definitely about something larger at play here. The characters are too successful. And in many different ways, so a couple of different ways, this is groundbreaking.
It was a test run.
TV show. Yeah, definitely a test run.
No, I'm starting to see what Steven's point about Netflix and Marvel getting together and seeing how this works, and then Marvel getting their properties back and be like, oh, now we know how this works. Thank you. And, and we'll definitely. take it from here. But let's jump into these sections. So, favorite character, as we did with Iron Fist, and least favorite characters of the season.
Okay.
And you go first.
Favorite character of the season of Luke Cage. I think I'm going to be right there with you guys with Bushmaster.
Mm-hmm.
He was just amazing. He was dope, yo. He was dope. and he wouldn't die. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was
right.
Not letting him die. Again, like, that's them paying attention to what we wanted, you know, from
we're comic book fans. Our villains live to fight another day. The Claw always
right.
escapes Inspector Gadget. And we don't mind,
right.
you know.
Always.
Like,
listen,
always.
The G.I. Joes and Transformers, you're watching the blue and red lasers.
Right.
And no one gets
yep, and then somebody escapes. And then also, how many times did Joker break out of Arkham Asylum? We don't
How
care.
Many times?
We don't care. You know what I'm saying?
We don't care.
We're okay. That's part of our whole lore. You don't have to kill him and resurrect him and make it all be
right.
Killing Superman. No. Anyway, sorry. I'm not going to go get up.
But yeah. Right. Oh, definitely.
And least right favorite.
Least favorite? Who?
Cool.
Oh,
mine.
Huh.
Easy.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Least favorite was that cop that that went bad. The cop that went bad.
Officer.
She might have been an AKA. About, you know what? Let me not start no beef. I don't. No beef today.
No, no beef.
My guy has no name. Has no beef.
But
today.
Her name is like Officer. It's not Nadim is actually Daredevil. That's why it's in my head because that's the new officer. It's, but it's somebody, and she was the worst. Let's just. Say
oh
that.
My God! Absolutely the worst.
She was
my least favorite. Who you got?
All right. Steve, who you got?
I'm with y'all with the Bushmaster thing. He was fantastic, and to me, with him, it kind of gave me like Kingpin. You know, they compare these shows. They get compared, and sometimes unfairly, but then, you know, because of the comic books, some of these characters aren't, you know, don't have the big extensive stories, and he made it big, and I'm going to tell you, he made it big for me, like what the Purple Man did.
You dig
what, because, like, you know, like for and the acting period, the acting and the characters had so much life. And these three villains are in comp with each other. And sometimes it's characters that aren't in competition with each other because it's not even a fair comparison. But, you know, but by him coming up, stepping on the stage and putting that work in like how he did, I ain't gonna hold you. Like, it put him up there with the Purple Man. It put him up there with Kingpin. I was like, shoot,
he is.
And it was surprising. It was surprising because, you know, the year before.
The backstory was great, too.
These backstories are turning great.
The accent was really what sold it. Like, it has to work, you know. The fact that they
put the work in.
People that can do accents and stuff.
Yeah.
Our least favorite characters, who you got? He's so biased.
That's the one thing. I like it so much. I don't not like nobody.
Dislike anybody,
I don't dislike anybody because of what they mean. Like, you know, and it could be corny. It could be like they can have the corniest part.
So
yeah, to me it does.
To me it's the officer Nandy.
Nandy.
The way they would go back and forth at each other's neck, her and Misty was the bomb. That's what it was like growing up with your homegirls, high school, college, all that whole tension right there. Yeah, I'm not even for you today right now. Like, all of that tension, that was amazing. I said, wow. This is
my favorite character was Bushmaster. I'm just echoing, and we all said the
right
things. But my least favorite character was Black Mariah's daughter. What the hell is her?
She's trash. She's a villain.
Yeah, lit.
She's whack, so I know she's a real villain. She kills her mom, but then she's like helping Bushmaster, but then she didn't know. But she don't have a TV in that place because the TV's behind the herb plant. the firm. Right. You can't see the TV and know about this motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And, you know, she was pretty, but then she was like a lost doe in headlights, but then she wanted to know what I'm sorry. You he hear all these things?
Right.
I'm good.
Right.
She's my least favorite character.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, and then, I'm trying to remember what her name is, her character's name is when she becomes
oh yeah, her ability.
Yeah.
I forget right now, but I know she got the two Afro puffs, and you know she see
yeah.
that, and that's what I mean. Like for me,
right?
Like even you know, you might have a little just
light little things about
her,
yeah.
but it's just the fact that
mm-hmm.
she's been there. The fact that she's
right.
been there
yeah.
now. She's a you know the a villain in there. It beats me up because I know she plays a role in their you know saying in that comic book world, and she could have mm-hmm. been. And what happens with movies, like let's say it's a sequel, when people don't really the character don't resonate you know with people don't really care for that character.
Oh, they get rid
whatever,
of them.
Yeah, they get rid yeah. of them. And it could be, and you don't really know, like if you like, you know, especially with stuff that somebody wrote, you know, this book or this, you know, this story with this character in it, you know, you don't know that. Yes, this is still a moving part, and so you just don't. You
yeah.
like, I don't care about that part. But then, like
right.
as with this, they make it important because for comic book fans, even the smallest, a cameo.
Detail.
It could be mm-hmm. Moon Knight. It could be Moon Knight, and he show up, or whoever shows up, we'd be like, man, you know, he was such was in there, and this and that, and the same thing with the villains. The smallest villain, you hear their name pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least for me, I get geeked out. I was like, yo, they are putting them in there. And people don't even realize this dude is walking around, and you know, and he did this. Who was it? Goliath and Ant-Man. You know, Goliath
yeah.
and Ant-Man.
Yeah,
you know, like you
yeah.
get what I'm saying? Like, you know, for me,
yeah,
I'm watching
those,
a movie
those,
like
they do very good Easter egg service. They do really good
yeah.
job of dropping.
It's subtle.
Yeah, they don't. It's not a big crescendo and crash. But
yeah,
right,
and
yeah.
they don't make a
Let's
big deal to go all out to say their names,
right.
like you know, like to
yeah, like
to,
look,
to
right. They what they do is they make the audience to give us credit for being intelligent. So
yeah.
we have these histories. If you remember these names, will come up, and we'll talk about it later. They don't need to put it in big block letters.
Yeah, they don't need to set up for it. Be like, yeah, so that, and his name was. Such, and he was
right.
affiliated with blah blah blah. They don't do it like that. They just like you said, they get a credit and they have to because of what's being presented to them. They get the most
mm-hmm.
complaints. They get the biggest complaints from this comic book network.
The community.
So and the first thing they'll do is like, hey man, don't play us. We're not stupid. And I was like, all right.
They don't have to. Like, we're
gonna put them out there.
That's the thing. It's drawing and it's characters and it's fantasy, but we're adults. And if you give us that
right.
credit, then we'll meet you halfway. And you won't have to work
yeah.
so hard or be corny in the way you're presenting it. All right. So
but
me,
at least some of us.
Well, yeah. All right. All right. Give me your favorite moment, Luke Cage, season two. And you kick it off.
Favorite moment might have been the fight in the garage or the auto repair shop when Misty really started like getting it cracking. I was like, oh, okay, all right. I think that might be either that one. No. It was Luke getting beat on the bridge that did it.
Ah, okay.
It was just, that watching Luke get beat on the bridge is one. It's two pegs under watching Thanos whip on Hulk. It's right there. It's so quick.
Got you.
It's definitely not what you expected, and it's executed in a way that is just like, hey, we're not playing around with this. We want to make it pretty clear what can happen. What's going to happen? Bam. Okay, it's a wrap. Yeah, that was definitely my best, my favorite. Yeah.
Mine was everything surrounding with Misty's arm. And it was just one of those things that it was something I was like, all right, well, how are they gonna map that out? You know, and you know, they made Rand you know, make the arm, but I know Tony made the arm. But it was, and the crazy thing was, I was waiting for it, and when it happened, no matter who made the arm, I was still all right with it, and I just kept on focusing in on her arm. It's like, yo, she's gonna have a robotic arm, and what else they gonna, you know, and then she's gonna find out what else it could do. And she started finding out what else it could do and how hard, strong it was and this and that. And I was like, yeah, I like this. This is all right. You know, and I was like, yeah, I'm on board. I need to watch more of this. Because the smallest little details like that, you know what I'm saying, draws me in.
All right. I like that.
What was it for you, Cass?
Mine is a tie between when Luke first gets knocked out by Bushmaster, because that was cool, but it did catch me off guard in the way he got knocked out with the capoeira kick, and Mist and Colleen in the bar echoing the Daughters of the Dust.
Yeah.
That was dope. And Misty didn't even have the arm at this point yet, alluding to what Caesar's talking about. So she was fighting one arm, and that was really tight for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
she only had one arm at that point. She didn't.
I gotta grab that.
All right. Okay. So let's get to the elephant in the room. We mentioned it. We talked about it, but the cancellations. I think we touched on it a bit. But we saw Iron Fist get canceled. Now, what was your reaction when you saw that Luke Cage caught the cancellation a week later?
And
when Iron Fist ends, and also Daredevil is premiering.
I definitely didn't jump to a lot of places I saw other people jump to. Like, I thought there was a lot of reaching on Samoa. Here they go canceling the Black show. When I think what people need to understand is this is about money. There's never a time it's not about money. You know what I'm saying? So, and that speaks to how they're handling Black Panther 2. So, I mean, we all know what we wanted to happen, and Ryan Coogler. They say, and they feel like they announced it now that he signed paperwork. You know, he's working on, you know, they confirmed that he's working on Black Panther 2.
Yeah,
but they're saying that because Black Panther 1 was such an overwhelming, unexpected success, it's positioned him in a really weird place for expected performance of the second one. But also, the positive positioning was he could leverage for so much more on the contract for the second one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so people's got to understand, it's about money. If Luke Cage was doing as well as we all would have liked it to do, it'd be a different story completely. You know, it'd be a completely different story. Again, I took solace in envisioning those shows to come back on Disney, and for me, it's heavily hinged on them bringing back the same actors. Can I see it working without them doing that? Sure. I mean, I never thought I would be able to swallow
Three Spider-Man.
Definitely. And especially for me to like each Spider-Man when they redid it, I liked what they did with it. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, Garfield's great. Yeah. He's amazing. Spider-Man, he's skinny. That's how they dress. Perfect. And then for us to get Tom Holland, he's nailing it. He's nailing it. So, yeah.
That was my earlier point. My earlier point was,
a lot of things that, you know, outsiders can, like, riff about. But when you're a comic book junkie, as long as the characters are there, we're going to go with that.
Regret for punishment.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, we are. Now, the same thing happened.
Are you guys going to check out the next Ninja Turtle movie that drops? I mean, what are we going to do?
No, I will see the Aladdin. I will see the live-action Aladdin movie.
That's great.
I ain't even got no kids.
We all waited for Incredibles 2. You know, we're glad.
Listen, God. I'm gonna tell you the one movie that did that to me. Godzilla.
Yeah.
That Matthew Broderick. I was furious at. I was the first movie I've ever walked out on.
And like you said,
a glutton for punishment. A glutton for punishment. I was willing to go see the next one. And no matter how much they tied it all together with
King Kong and using Monarch as a threat. Like, come on, man. They're creating that universe over there. Amazing.
I watched the Netflix cartoons. The Netflix movie cartoons. They're fantastic.
Per your recommendation, I finished the first one. I'm about to start the second one. This is good.
Which series is this?
The Godzilla cartoon, the anime one. It's just Oh, they're incredible. Yeah, they're incredible.
And to me, as much as we can complain about, and we got to look at it like this. We have a lot. You know, we complain, but we have so much. We have so much. And the reason why, because now these are movies. These aren't comic books just no more. And if we only have one comic book, then we might say, that comic book was too short. But we probably would go back and read it again. But now that we got all of this, we could complain about all the little nuances, all the little this and little that. But we will go, no matter how many Spider-Mans they put up, no matter how many Batmans they put up, we'll still watch because of what we actually are. We're comic
book fans. Check this out, y'all. We're about to watch the sixth or seventh iteration of Joker. You forget to add in that Gotham has a Joker, too, who's the twin brother of the kid that was supposed to be the Joker. Whatever. It's very strange. But this is like the seventh iteration of Joker. We'll line up and we'll go see. So to bring it back to Sensei, because we're higher minds, the cancellations, while they did hurt a bit, we do see something in the horizon, and we all know it's about money and entertainment. So these things are successful in some light. They're not going to leave them on the table. And also, Netflix has a very weird business model. Like, they're not planning to make money until, like, 2022. Like, literally.
Yeah.
They put so much money into their programming. So they'll be fine. But Disney's trying to herd their cattle, get their ducks in a row, like, look, when we launch, we're not going to be like the DC Universe, spotty. That's spotty. This DC Universe thing is spotty. But this
Castro.
Disney thing will be large.
Wait, let me tell you.
This is how they're paying for the whole service. Right? This is how
Before you jump into that, what I wanted to know, I remember seeing an Instagram ad for the service. They were doing a special. It was only going to be $5 a month. I was like, sign me up. I went. I downloaded the app. I couldn't find where to join the subscription, the service.
This is the DC service?
I'm all in the app. The DC service.
Wow. Well, I think it was user-friendly when that first rolled out, when all of the Comic-Con leaks. And then it's because I know people that already got subscribed, so I don't know. Keep looking. It's very strange. Okay. DC is always in a rush. They don't value patience, and they don't give their fans enough credit that they'll be patient and they'll roll with you. They just feel like, we started late. But Disney, this is what Disney has planned. They are going to have an exclusive Star Wars series on the service.
First of all,
you already know that's paying for it. These Star Wars cats are crazy. They're insane.
Yeah.
They're all going to be subscribing to this thing. Just to criticize the show. That's the other thing.
Oh, yes.
to criticize it. They will subscribe.
They hate all the new films. They hate every new film.
They hate that they use Set the Force, which actually I love. And I'm a fan of both. I was around when everything was just about the Skywalkers, and now I'm around where it's like, oh, no, it's about the universe. So anyway, I digress. What I think we're seeing is we're a little bit hesitant, as he alludes to. We're big fans of this stuff, but we see the writing on the wall. So I think this is not the last we're going to see of these series. But it is curious that, like, I heard Jessica Jones getting a whole new season, and Daredevil, this last season was the best season. So it's curious as to how they're going to go about that. If we hear that Daredevil has been canceled, then you know what it is.
Yeah, but you're right. They already shot. They finished Jessica Jones season 3 and Punisher season 2. That's done.
Right. So those
were done already.
They have to close out arc. There's definitely something like that. They have to close out arc. So, but I think we will see a whole new relaunch with this Disney streaming service, and I think they're just getting their ducks in a row. That's why this is all going down. I don't think it has anything to do with performance. When it was just Iron Fist, you could allude to that, but then when you go with Luke Cage and his popularity, they're not going to leave money on the table. Is what I'm saying.
The thing is, they need everything home. If you got everything home, and
any TV show can feature any character, any movie can feature any character from a TV show.
Right.
Like,
because now everything is home.
It really hit me. Like, you know what? Everything's home. I don't know what it was about that phraseology, but it really hit me like, wait a minute. This is really like walking in. The MCU is literally like walking into the Marvel section of a comic book store and seeing everything.
Right.
Like, anyone can pop up anywhere now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, come on. And the other thing about this, so there's a way that the Netflix properties are being treated versus, I believe it's due heavily to them being tied to the movies the way they are tied to the movies. But there's a way that they're being treated versus other shows that we might binge. The fact that these characters are familiar, they have mythos, a lot of these characters and sub-characters intertwine and connect with other properties, especially with, you know, the major part of the MCU. The fact that all that happens, you compare it to Orange is the New Black. You compare it to A Better Call Saul or Ozark.
Yeah.
Ozark gives you, and I still have to watch Ozark, from everything I'm hearing about. Whatever these shows give you.
Fantastic.
Give me a sec.
Yeah.
Whatever these shows give you is what you are getting. Even when I watched Castle Rock, there's only so many different videos you're going to get on explanations and Easter eggs.
Yeah.
But when you're watching Iron Fist ended the way it did, and there are so many different YouTube videos about explaining the teaser for season 3, explaining who Colleen is now, explaining all that. You're not getting that with these other shows.
And I was just about to piggyback on it. Yes, you are right.
A community. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when you have people that are used to watching shows that don't have these deep characters and these deep histories with these characters, and they come to an Iron Fist or they come to another, they come to a Jessica Jones. Like, let's talk about Jessica Jones specifically. When they come to a show like Jessica Jones, they're like, oh, this is weak. She don't got no costume. Or like they did with Luke Cage. He ain't have no real villain first season. Like, y'all aren't understanding that every 3 to 5 characters is someone really, really important in a storyline somewhere else in this entire universe.
And like, that's why I don't dislike nobody. That is the main reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So it kills me for people to be like, they didn't like season 2 of Iron Fist. Now that I'm done it and it's fresh in my head, I'm like, they gave us too much potential for season 3 for you not to care. Like, what? Right. And DC has that too, with its characters. Like, you put Nightwing on anything, I'm in. I want to see what iteration of Nightwing you're giving me. Same thing with Joker. Oh, Joker's, oh, yeah. He's the main reason I went back to watching Gotham. Oh, what are y'all going to do?
Really?
Them just announcing the Joker movie. Oh, Joaquin, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm in.
See, the DC shows don't do that for me.
The DC shows are pretty good, too.
Huh?
The shows are definitely better than the movies. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
The shows are definitely better than the movies. I haven't delved into the Heroes of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
you're talking about the CW shows. The CW shows have really done very, very well.
Yeah,
Legends of Tomorrow, that's over with now. It's over. They don't broadcast that anymore. But now they have Supergirl, and they revitalized that whole thing. And remember, with Supergirl, they took that from CBS.
Exactly.
And Arrow, all that stuff is working. They got Supergirl, Arrow, and Flash. And Flash is going into season 6. So they're really clicking.
Okay.
But they're about to drop Batgirl. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Batgirl's coming. So they have a point here. So I will say this. Marvel has a good thing going, so I hope they don't let go of the rope too soon. And with Disney's acquisition, I think we all know that these are smart organizations. So I think this is not the last time we'll see Iron Fist nor Luke Cage. And that's
I would agree wholeheartedly. I didn't think it would be the last time I would see them at all. That's probably why I wasn't even shook up about that.
But wait till y'all see Daredevil. They're really learning.
I can't
how to
wait.
Do this
well,
stuff.
See the scene. I'm not really good. That.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I just finished today at work. Instead of doing work, I watched 2 episodes. So don't tell my boss.
I gotta. I'm jumping on that first thing tomorrow. And I also got to play catch up with House on Haunted Hill. Is that what it's called?
Oh, I heard about that. And then also, oh wait, there's Castle Rock. I got to catch up on. So anybody that's a fan of The Raid or The Raid 2 on Netflix, there's a movie called The Night Comes For Us. And it's got Homeboy in there, Tony Jaa, and it's the same damn thing. And also for anybody that's down with us, that's been down with the podcast, has no name, it is required viewing to go to Netflix and watch Tales from the Hood 2. It's awful.
Okay.
It's not awful.
Listen. Okay, yes, so is that horrible movie? Is that we're going to do the horrible movie episode?
Yeah, that's one of the horrible movies. Yes, yes. It's
what
it's
movie
movie
was that?
Yes.
Tales from the Hood
2 is
on
that.
Oh,
my God.
I got to hit Alex up and let him know. Because, you know, we thought.
Let him know. Put that on the docket. That's next one up.
We were wrong about that. So the first time we did 3, we already have 2. So The Kingsman. Golden Ring, that's definitely a horrible movie.
I gotta watch that.
Tales from the Hood 2, okay, cool. So we gotta find a third one, and then we knock.
Y'all might as well put Leprechaun in there.
What? No, because see, we just do like current ones. So, Unfriended, Dark Web, but I actually liked it. So I watched that though.
That looked good. I saw the first.
That was
one
actually good.
Like
the first one, but the first one was more supernatural. This one is more like hackers. Like true hackers, not like ghosts or something.
That's
but anyway,
see, that's why I like watching the trailers. That's why I'm really firm on watching a lot of the trailers.
I got the IMDb app on the first page of my phone on the home screen.
I don't play no games. I love IMDb.
Wow. Yeah.
So I think Marvel's doing a good job. We'll see what's on the horizon, but all of our listeners, I wouldn't worry. I think we'll see Luke Cage come back even bigger and better. And I think Iron Fist was just starting to get promising. So,
definitely. Yeah. Well, listen, y'all. First off, let's thank Cease. Cease, thank you.
Appreciate the invite,
brother. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate you.
Letting the listeners know the schedule is about to be ramped up. We are on Spotify now. We are always been on Apple. We are on Google Play. You know what I'm saying? We're on iHeartRadio. We're hitting it. Listen. So we want to be able to meet you guys' needs. The production schedule will be increasing. And we're going to be dropping more content, more and more content. We're also be moving into Patreon pretty soon, so we're going to have some exclusive content over there on Patreon. If for whatever reason you are not following us on Instagram, please make sure you follow Podcast as no name. Because the stuff that ends up coming up throughout the weeks, just the, you know, our daily take on whatever is happening in, you know, with movies and TV shows, and especially ones that we're following real heavy. That's where you're going
to
see it.
Look for us to be real present in the upcoming year, because we all know what's coming up. 2019 is the final season of Game of Thrones. The whole genesis of the podcast is coming back, and we've been patient, and we've been holding it down. We've been doing a rewatch, and we can't wait. Six episodes of Fury. So, you know. But thanks for listening,
right.
y'all.
Definitely.
Hey, thanks for y'all, brother.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Hey, man, I want to submit a beat for y'all introduction.
Well, we can do that. I'm not mad at that. Y'all both on the same side over there. I can see something organic happening in the studio.
All right. We can do that.
Listen. Cash flow comes off the top every single time. To be able to maybe pop into 2019 with an actual intro might be interesting.
Yeah, that might be the move. 2019 actual have an intro song. I'm with it. I'm with it right now.
I'll submit the beat and you tell me if it works for you or not.
There it is. All
right, that works.
There it is.
And if you do any kind of wizardry or any.
What did you say? Any type of what?
I mean, you never know. I could
wizardry.
It comes to me. It could be something as simple as a podcast has no name. Don't be playing no game. Podcast has no name. Don't be playing no game.
All right.
All right, Joe. We get to the next show.
All right,
Joe. Peace.
All right.
Excellent. You're still here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of A Podcast Has No Name. If this is your first time checking us out, please subscribe. We are available on Google Play, Apple Music, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Podcast Has No Name. Deuces.